So we are coming to the final days before Jesus is arrested, tried at a make-believe trial, condemned, and crucified. But tonight, Jesus and his disciples have met together in the house of Simon the leper. As we move through the various complexities revealed in our text tonight, I want you to consider this. And I want you to consider the subject of worship. Sometimes worship is expressed in song and spoken words. Other times it is expressed in deeds and actions. And we will see an example of that tonight. But there are times, but every time when there is worship, it is always expressed with the heart. If it is not from the heart, it is not true worship. This is told to us in the first commandment, that we are to worship our Lord God with all of our heart. So we'll start tonight with Jesus and his disciples sharing a time of fellowship together. In Mark chapter 14, starting with verse 1. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread was only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people will riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at a table at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came in with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made from pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on Jesus' head. Well, on the head. Of course, this is Jesus. Now, Mark 14 tells us that Jesus and his disciples were invited to the home of Simon the leper. The Gospels do a terrible job with nicknames. We have blind Barnabas. We have Simon the leper. 3,000 years later, this is still the only way we know these people. We know nothing about this man except at one point he had leprosy. Clearly, Simon had been healed from this leprosy, or people would not have been in his home. He must have been cured, he would have been separated from all the people. So it is reasonable to assume that he was healed, and at some point he was probably healed by Jesus prior to this event happening. Now, John's gospel also reveals that Lazarus was there also in this home, following his miraculous resurrection from the dead. Now, many had gathered there that evening. Some were there, of course, probably for the spectacle, but others had come for their devotion to Jesus. This passage takes place just prior to the Feast of the Passover, 2 days away from the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we know that the Jewish people observed the Passover to commemorate their deliverance from Egypt through God's mighty hand. So as they're sitting there, a woman enters the house of Simon the leper, and as Jesus is sitting at the table eating, she's brought in this jar, this alabaster jar, which she broke it open and she poured the contents on Jesus' head. Again, in John's gospel, he also says that she poured it on his feet. Now, this perfume was nard, and nard is a fragrant oil that is pounded out of roots and stems of an aromatic herb that is found in northern India. It is very expensive, a very expensive perfume, imported and sealed in an alabaster flask, which you open by breaking off the top. It is a one-time use jar. So you only brought it out, you only used it for a very special occasion. Some scholars think that it was worth probably a year's wages, about 33,000 of today's dollars. This was probably the most expensive thing that she's ever owned, and maybe even a family heirloom. But she offered her gift of worship lovingly, willingly, and without any reservation. True worship, a heart service to God, sometimes requires a sacrifice. Now, some scholars believe that the woman was Mary. This could possibly be Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, or Mary Magdalene, or another woman named Mary that Jesus had impacted at some point. Now, I'm going to call this woman Mary for the rest of my message, just because I don't want to keep saying the woman. But whoever it was, she understood Jesus when he said that he was on his way to the grave. And she was anointing Jesus for burial while he was still among them. Mary spared no expense as she anointed Jesus' head. Now, this extravagant exercise of worship is about as loving, devoted expression as one can get. Mary was willing to risk her reputation, not caring about what others thought of her, in order to honor and to worship her Lord. Her act of worship filled the house with the aroma of this perfume. So surely it brought all the attention to Jesus and was noticed by those in the house. She went all in on her worship. How often do we go all in on our worship to the Lord? How often do we come to worship and we don't fully enter in because our minds are on something else? My prayer for us all is that when we come to worship, whether it's in church or whether it's someplace else, wherever it is, that we are not influenced by anything else except our desire to love Jesus and to fully enter in and fully accept worship. To be all in, that nothing else would be affecting us. Now, beside our minds sometimes being busy when we try to enter into worship, another reason we don't fully enter in and hold back is because we're too afraid what people might think. Someone might say something about how we're worshiping. The disciples had something to say about Mary's form of worship. They thought what she was doing was just a waste and not worship. We'll pick up our reading today in verse 4. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor will always have you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Now, to be fair, it says some were indignant, not all of them. So maybe somewhere along the line, some of them had learned at least to keep their mouth shut. But they murmured against her. Some were angry at Mary for pouring this perfume on Jesus. They did not view what Mary was doing as an act of worship. They only viewed it as a waste. An all too familiar tone, all too familiar reaction from the disciples. Again, showing that they just don't get it. In John's account, it was Judas Iscariot, who immediately had something to say and called it out as waste, that the money could have better been used to serve the poor. Scripture says in John 12:6 that Judas was interested in having more money to be used for outreach. See, Judas was personally responsible for the treasury, but he was also known to be a thief. He was known to misappropriate funds for things that he needed personally. Judas also, in just a few hours from this occasion, is going to sell Jesus out to be arrested and crucified for a few simple pieces of silver. So how often do we sit in the same seats judging others for their generosity, their worship, instead of thankfulness for Mary and seeing the beauty in what she was doing? They criticize and they judge. Now, Jesus had just talked to them. Jesus had just talked to his disciples about giving, and that not everybody gives the same way. That people who truly love God give the best that they can. In Mark 12, Jesus and his disciples were watching people put money into the offering box. And many rich people had come up, and they dropped large amounts of money into the offering box. And then a poor widow woman came up and put in a penny. Jesus told them that the widow's offering was worth more than any of the rest, because the rich people gave out of their abundance, but she gave and she had nothing. She put everything she had into the treasury box. She gave all she had to live on. It wasn't the gift, but it was the attitude of the giver. The disciples had just had this lesson on being an all-in giver, giving all you have for the sake of Christ. And yet again, they didn't get it. Now, I like this verse because Jesus quickly came to her defense and shut them down. Nobody else came to Mary's defense. But Jesus was not going to have it. So in verse 6, he said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a very beautiful thing for me." Mary wasn't willing just to sit back and do nothing. She loved Jesus, and she was going to show it. That's what worship and service is. That's what God is looking for from us. And Jesus goes on to say, because of what she has done, and because she has poured her heart out along with the perfume, and because she loves me and is not afraid to show it, that wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world for the rest of time, what she has done here will be talked about. I guess I'm talking about it tonight. So now, some people question verse 7. The poor will always have you, and you can help them anytime you want. Now, Jesus' statement does not express a lack of concern for the poor. And we can see that throughout the Gospels, that the poor are very close to his heart. There will always be poor comes from an Old Testament teaching of the year of canceling debts, where at the end of 7 years, you must cancel all the debts of your fellow Israelites. I wish that was a law today, huh? Now, you could still collect payment from any of the foreigners, but you had to cancel the debt of your fellow Israelites. And they were also required to take care of the poor. In Deuteronomy 5:11, it says, "There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land." Don't expect everybody to be pleased when you seek to worship and to serve the Lord. There will always be critics to question your actions and your motives. But if we will serve the Lord with gladness, seeking to honor Him in all that we do, we will influence others. It is impossible to know exactly what our obedience will have, what that impact will have on others. We do what we do because that's what God is asking us to do. And if somebody has a problem with that, tell them to take it up with God. Now, as we consider Mary's example, we notice that while many of those around were seeing what was going on, including the disciples, they were focused on themselves and what they believed, while Mary was only focused on Jesus. She apparently hadn't asked the 12 disciples what they thought about her plan of honoring the Lord. I'm sure they would have had many things to say beforehand, many objections if she had. While others murmured and complained, Jesus knew the intent of Mary's heart and the motive behind her action. Of all those who were there, she appears to be the only one who realized the enormity of that moment. She had come to anoint Jesus' body, prior to what was going to happen next. R. Hughes said it this way: "What an astonishing moment. Mary unexpectedly approached her reclining Lord, bearing a priceless alabaster vial of imported Indian perfume, very likely a family heirloom, snapped the narrow neck off of the flask, poured a generous portion on Jesus' head, anointing him humbly, worshipfully. It was an intensely fervent expression of devotion, as fervent as found anywhere in the sacred scriptures." Mary's worship was reckless, and out of a desire to be fully surrendered. Jesus commended Mary because he said she did what she could. She used what she had in an opportunity to give her honor to Jesus. Are we living our lives by seeking to use what we have in the opportunities that are given to us? The way we are to honor Jesus is to live in a way that we surrender completely to Him. Mary's worship reflected a desire to live a surrendered life, which made it possible for Jesus to use her in bigger ways than even she could imagine. If we use what we have in the opportunities given to us by Jesus, He will also honor that. Our lives will point others to Christ and teach others about Christ. Jesus promised Mary's surrender would lead to her influence going beyond her lifetime and into eternity. Mary entered Jesus' presence thinking of what she could give. Judas and the disciples entered Jesus' presence thinking of what they could get. When we enter worship, we must enter as Mary did. Is your life surrendered to Christ like Mary's? Then it will be reflected in the way we approach worship. Mary worshiped with recklessness because her life was fully surrendered. What does the way we worship say about our desire to be fully surrendered to Jesus? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for who you are. Lord, we are thankful that you are a God that we can come to at any time with a worshipful heart. That, Lord, we don't need fancy words. We don't need just the right things to say or to wear or to even be, Lord. But, Lord, we just need to come to you with a full heart and be fully in. And, Lord, we know that you will honor that desire. Lord, help us if we come up a little bit short. But Lord, we are a people who desire to be more in with you. Lord, be with us now. Lord, we ask these things in your precious and your holy name. Amen.